At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everyone, and thank you so much to every single person who signed up for the newsletter last week that we launched. So many people signed up for it, which I'm so grateful for. And if you have not yet signed up for it, you can click the link in my bio. The newsletter is basically just a recap every Friday of what we talk about on the episode that week of BDA Baby. And, also just all the products, because we talk about a ton of different products and just want to link all those out to you. So the newsletter has been great. We've sent one out last week and we will send another one out tomorrow after this conversation. And I am so thrilled to talk to JC today just about her whole journey and her first pregnancy, dealing with secondary infertility, and her post yesterday, which I thought was so beautifully written and resonated with so many people who are also experiencing a similar journey. So I'm grateful for her openness. I'm grateful for her honesty. And again, want to remind everybody that everyone has a different and unique journey, and to come at these conversations with empathy and with compassion, and also understanding that everyone's journey is different, and the ability to be open about them and to share is a gift to everybody. So let me bring JC in and chat about it. She's so open and honest about everything, so I'm really excited to chat with her. Yay, it worked. Hello.
Hi. Hello, how are you?
Great. How are you? You look so nice.
Oh, thanks. I got dressed today. I had a good excuse because I knew I'd be seeing you.
I saw. I was like, she really dressed up today.
Well, I mean, any excuse to put a little makeup on, because these days it's just always like yoga gear for me. So it's like, oh, I've got a good excuse.
I thank you so much for doing this. And I was reading your post yesterday after we talked on the phone for a little bit, and the post that you put on your page, which I thought was so beautifully written and just very open and honest about your experience and talking about something that for so many people is very challenging to talk about and has been for you, as you mentioned in your post. And just the acceptance and just so many different factors that go into it. So thank you for your post and thank you for talking about this, because I know it's not easy. And also you haven't really talked about it before.
No, I haven't. I mean, this is just, I figured your platform is just the best place to talk about it. Thank you for creating this open space, safe space, using your platform to do so. Now, I haven't quite opened up on this subject yet, but I'm happy to do so today.
Oh, good. I'm thrilled. So, I mean, I know everybody who's followed you obviously knows you have a beautiful little girl, June, and that you were pregnant the first time. And when you and I were chatting yesterday, and you touched on this in your post, you didn't really have a easy pregnancy. And I think that also explains the relief that you mentioned in your post. So let's just go back to your first pregnancy and talk a little bit about what that was like for you.
Yeah. Grant, my husband and I, we got pregnant fairly easy. We were really lucky. We tried for a few months and I was like kind of tracking things, you know, all us girls do. And we got pregnant, and I was told a while back that I had PCOS. And so that was kind of always in the back of my mind, because I struggled with like pretty significant cycles. Didn't in high school. Like, I was totally fine. I was like, oh my God, cramps? Like, what are those? I was like busy doing sports and stuff. So this was like something new to me later on, when I was probably in my late 20s. I started to like feel really bad cramps and going through all those things. So I was like, something's not quite right. So my doctor thought I had PCOS, which is pretty common. And I feel like a lot of doctors diagnose women with that. But yeah, and then my pregnancy with June, in the beginning, I mean, I'm like, this has to be normal. You know, your normal aches and pains, but the closer we got to the final trimester, it just kept getting harder and harder. And it was, I didn't complain on social media, but poor Grant, he had to put up with me the whole time, but I was complaining and aching and I could barely get out of bed. And I was in a significant amount of physical pain. And I didn't share that online because first of all, who wants to hear that? You know, there's so many women out there that are struggling to get pregnant. And I'm so aware of that. And so I didn't want to share my journey because I was kind of embarrassed by it. And I just didn't, I don't know. I felt bad, you know, I felt guilty because I was pregnant. I'm lucky, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really hard. It was a really hard pregnancy. It was very painful.
So a couple people are asking about PCOS. PCOS is, that's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's actually more common than I think a lot of us, you know about. Someone just mentioned it. So, but I think, you know, you're also, your postpartum journey was also challenging as well. And that was, you know, postpartum for a lot of people is very, very challenging. And for a variety of different reasons, hormones go absolutely insane. And then there's also the physical healing process. And if your pregnancy had been challenging, a lot of the time it's extra challenging for you postpartum. And that period for you kind of led you into your diagnosis of adenomyosis, right?
That's right. Yeah. So when I had June, it's funny now because I'm still connecting all of these dots, like literally this is still happening kind of in real time. When I delivered June, I had placenta accreta, which like a lot of people know because of Kim Kardashian. Basically it's when your placenta is stuck and it won't come out naturally. So the doctors had to extract it, which caused a lot of bleeding. They were worried I was going to hemorrhage during that process. So that in and of itself was pretty significant. I remember a moment where they thought I was going to stop breathing. They were like taking her off the medication, the pain medication. I looked over at Grant and he was holding June and I literally heard them say like, pull back, she's going to stop breathing. That's like the only thing I really remember. I have to have Grant kind of like replay the day back to me with some significant tearing, which nobody likes to talk about, but that was happening. So then the aftermath, my postpartum recovery was very, very, very hard. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed for probably like 3 weeks, I want to say. Somehow along the way, I had fractured my tailbone. I mean, the actual labor was great. I wasn't in pain. I was like, this is beautiful. We had music playing and it was like, oh, like I saw the Hollywood sign. I was like, the room is gorgeous. I mean, it was like out of a movie, but then right when she came out, it was like, dun, 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 you know, the storm came. And little did I know at the time that I had adenomyosis, which does cause all of these things to happen. You're more likely to have placenta accreta. You're more likely to hemorrhage. And blood clotting and all of these things. So afterwards, I mean, I was in a fog for a year, honestly. I also suffered from postpartum depression, DEMER, which I know you recently had someone speak about that, which is basically it's dysphoric milk ejection reflex, which basically means the hormones in your body when you have the letdown when you're breastfeeding cause either negative emotions or they make you physically sick. They were making me physically sick because I think my body was just so depleted at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that took me, I mean, and again, being a woman, you know, I'm like, toughen up, like suck it up, JC. I was like, everybody has to go through this. I thought that I was just a wuss, to be honest. You know, I thought I was like, I don't know, not tough enough. I never like questioned that maybe I have this like condition. I mean, I didn't know I did.
Right.
It took about a year for me to figure that out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
And what was that like for you? Because I think a lot of people, I mean, I was saying this to you on the phone yesterday, I've never even heard of that. I think, you know, we talk about endometriosis. A lot of people have come out and talk about that, that they struggle with that, as well as PCOS. So those words, I feel like we hear more of,
but
not adenomyosis. So can we talk about that, and also like how you figured out that that was, or your doctor figured out that was something that you were dealing with?
Yeah. So Grant and I, at this point, didn't know, like, are we going to have another one? Do we want another child in our future? You know, I was still like, what? Like, what day is it? You know? And so at June's year birthday, she just turned one. I just kind of come out of the fog and I was like, honestly, like, I just don't know. Like, I can't even think about that. And I was also turning 37. I'm now 38 years old. And so we decided to freeze embryos just as like a backup plan. We did not like have a plan at that point, but I knew there was like, it's not in the near future, but it could be in our future. And by the time we get there, I might be over 40. There might be even more complicated. I don't know. We don't know, but like, let's just get in a good insurance plan. I'm all about a good insurance plan. And it was through that process, the fertility doctor took literally like one look at me. She's like, oh girl, you got adenomyosis. I'm like, what? She's like, adenomyosis. I'm like, what is that? And it's basically, and I'm not a doctor, but it's basically the opposite kind of endometriosis. So endometriosis is when you have extra tissue that grows, and I'm giving you like the short end of the definition here, on the outside of the uterus. Adenomyosis is when it's on the inside, which causes inflammation, pressure on the bladder, you know, crazy heavy periods, debilitating. And at this point, you guys, and this is like totally TMI, but I feel like if you're watching this, you probably are kind of into TMI stuff. I mean, we're talking like 8 week long cycles for me. And it was like up until honestly, like 4 months ago when I finally found solutions, which I know we'll get to, but I was like, something is not right. Like, this is not normal. And so when the doctor told me that I had adenomyosis, it was like, oh, like, I was like, great. Like, there is something wrong with me, because I thought I was going crazy. You know what I mean? Like, not wrong, but different, you know? So it was a relief. I mean, just that was a relief. And then we got into like, you know, her telling me it's not the best idea for me to carry another child. These were all things when she was telling me, I was like, wow, like that makes so much sense. But it took another year. That was about a year ago for me to accept that emotionally, you know, first you're like feeling that like physical, like, oh, great. Like an answer.
Yeah.
So it wasn't up until like probably 4 months ago that I started like the emotional journey of it all. But yeah.
I mean, I think it's also, you know, it's so important. And we've talked about this before on BDA Baby, but just about the importance of trusting your gut when it comes to your body and your health. And, you know, you were able to be diagnosed with this by going to a fertility doctor, and it was kind of like, this just happened.
Yeah.
You first, you know, to seek that out. But to be able to have someone kind of give you validation that the pain that you experience and also your cycle and what you are currently going through is, there's a reason for it. The idea of having relief is, of course, makes total sense. And I think is also a great thing to point out to other people who might be watching that have, you know, gone through something similar or experienced similar pain, that, you know, sometimes it's good to, you know, trust yourself and trust your gut when it comes to your health, and you feel like something is wrong, to maybe go to another doctor for a second opinion, because you can get a diagnosis like you got, which is kind of like oh my God, thank you so much for giving me thing of why your pregnancy was challenging, and also why you experienced kind of the year of a fog and haze that you experienced.
Yeah, definitely. definitely trusting your gut. I mean, I'd seen multiple doctors, and endometriosis and adenomyosis are not always the easiest things to diagnose in someone. And you know, this might not have been the case 4 years ago. Like, who knows when it was actually developed, you know, for me. I'm not sure about that part, but, yeah, I mean, trusting your intuition is everything. And I think that honestly, even the fact that Grant and I were trusting our intuition to freeze embryos, like, we didn't know that at the time, you know, but there was something like the telling me to do that, which led me to that answer. Yeah. And so I'm just like, thank you. Like energy wise, it's like, it was really in the cards. Like every like step of the way kind of led us to finding more and more answers, and they, you know, it all reveals itself.
Yeah. And incredible. I loved how, when you were talking just about, you know, being in the doctor's office and having that diagnosis and also having things make so much sense to you as to why you're feeling a certain way, why your pregnancy was challenging, why labor was challenging. But can you talk a little bit about, okay, so you're diagnosed with that, you have this relief, which I think you wrote about it in your post yesterday really beautifully, because I think there's, you know, relief that you have a diagnosis and also relief that, you know, maybe pregnancy is not in your future for you personally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's complicated, right? Yeah. Like that's something I'm really diving into right now, and I'm doing various like kind of release rituals, to emotionally accept the fact that I will not be pregnant again. And it's sad and it's hard to accept that reality. It's a bit of a grieving process, if you will. And thinking of it that way has been helpful for me. And I know it's easy to look at someone like me and be like, you have one baby already. You already were pregnant. Like, you're lucky to at least have that. And trust me, I know that. And I am so happy that I was able to experience that, because I can't imagine how much harder it is for the women who don't even get to experience it once in their life. Like, dealing with the fact that I'm not able to do it again is just a sliver of what they're experiencing. And like, it's hard. And I like to imagine what they're going through, it has to be double. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. But on the flip side of that coin, Catherine, like, it's life threatening to go through that process again. And I have to accept that fact. And that alleviates a little bit of that heaviness for me, because it's not an option. And because it was so painful, I mean, I can like close my eyes and remember like walking to my bathroom in debilitating pain. I remember those moments. And of course it wasn't like all bad. There were some beautiful moments in there that were like happy and, oh my God, or, you know, kicking and all that stuff. But like, I would be lying if I didn't say that there was a little bit of relief, because it was that painful. But I hope that by me saying that, and which that's what I said yesterday, me sharing that, because it is like a very vulnerable thing to admit, like, I'm so relieved, that it expresses how much pain I was in to begin with.
I totally understand it. And when you and I talked about that yesterday, it was just this, you know, of course you have relief there, because we were also talking about, and we've talked about this before when it comes to breastfeeding, especially, that the amount of pressure that, you know, women put on themselves to do things a certain way, especially when it comes to having babies, life after having babies, breastfeeding, having this, you know, crazy, beautiful, flawless pregnancy. And also, you know, we're on Instagram and we see a lot of kind of, you know, filtered, beautiful lives and people who document their pregnancies from day one and, you know, have a certain pregnancy, and that's wonderful for them. And then there are also people who have a very challenging time getting pregnant, are unable to get pregnant at all. And then there are people who have very challenging pregnancies like you did. So I think it's brave of you to be able to say, this diagnosis gave me relief that, like, I'm unable physically to do this. And the relief for you, I think, is such a brave word to use, because of course it gives you relief, but also that can come with, you know, so much criticism from someone else to be like, you know, why can you feel that way?
Yeah, no. And I luckily have an incredible community on my Instagram that have kind of wrapped their arms around me through the past 10 years, to be honest. I feel like I don't know. I'm like nervous to open up, but it's also like the more I do, the more people will understand, you know, like, it's towing the line between like, how much do you share? But I find that typically when you're just as honest as you can be, especially with women, at the end of the day, I think we all do want to be supportive of one another. And if someone is going to come at me for something, which rarely happens, there's usually pain at the root of that, you know? And so more times than not, if someone is criticizing me or something I said, I really just try to like send them love and compassion because I imagine that they're going through something that's a lot harder than I'm going through.
Yeah, I think that's a great outlook and definitely a great therapy lesson to have in general. Yeah. You and I touched a little bit about the kind of grieving process. We talked about, you know, the feeling of relief and also just the fact that you've spent this past year really going through a grieving process of, you know, that loss of not being able to, you know, look in your future and say, I'm going to carry another baby. And also the acceptance that has come with that. And that's also still an ongoing process, but also these kind of little rituals that you've done for yourself mm-hmm. in the past that have been helpful, which I think are great things to be able to share with other people. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. These are like things I just discovered either through friends or social media or like my amazing yoga instructor. Yoga honestly has been a huge, huge help for me this year. Just like having that daily practice. I go 3 times a week to a private lesson at Urban Yoga here in LA. And Joe's incredible. And he's been very instrumental in teaching me how to breathe throughout the day, which sounds super simple, but also just being present with the feelings because I'm just the type of person that's like, all right, we got our diagnosis. Let's fix it. Let's go. Here's our calendar. Here's our this and that. And very rarely do I just sit and feel the feelings. I mean, who wants to sit around and like feel all the feels? It's hard, you know? So I'm very good at distracting myself from not being in those heavy, heavy feelings. So that was my start. And then lately, I've kind of like dug through like the physical kind of barrier that I built up for myself. I mean, the post pregnancy, like aftermath, my body was still very much in shock. And I didn't really realize that, but I was holding like, you know, when you're holding your jaw, like everyone right now is watching, like release your jaw. We're all holding tension in our jaw. Same with our hips and our back and stretching and all this stuff. So once I was kind of able to like get my body moving and like let it go in my body, more recently I've been working on letting go, like not letting go, but, you know, releasing that emotionally. And there's been a couple things I've done, like little rituals, and maybe people think this is silly, but I love rituals. I'm a big ritual person. And so I wrote everything down that I wanted to release on a piece of paper and like sat with it outside. And then I lit it on fire, which sounds so silly, but I let it go. That was like a simple thing I did. And then I collected some rocks around our neighborhood on a walk. And every time I'm like feeling something, I try to hold the rocks and I put it into the rock. And I'm not quite there yet, but I'm going to take them to the ocean and release them into the ocean. And there's just little things like that. Like if you research like releasing grief, there's a lot of really great, wonderful resources online that will kind of give you like little tips and like smudging the house and saging and opening up all the windows and like really visualizing that like release instead of just like, oh, I'm gonna smudge the house and like, look, Instagram, I'm doing it. Like actually being in that moment, you know, and meditating over it, I think has been helpful for me recently. Yeah. And of course, I would be amiss to not recognize my husband because he's incredible. And I know somebody asked me yesterday, they were like, how has Grant been playing a role in this process? And I mean, he's sitting right there. Hi, Grant. I'm gonna see him. He's right here. There he is. That's how Grant shows up. He's there. He's always there. You know, he's incredible. And we've definitely had our moments where I'm like, you don't get it. It's not you, it's me. But he's been very supportive, and I've had to learn to, he's smiling. I've had to learn to really open up to him in those moments and not just like hold on to it. Yeah. I mean, like the stupidest little things that might kind of trigger me and be like, you know, I'll have like a pity party one day and be like, my body's broken and, you know, this is what I'm made to do and I can't do it. And so he just kind of reminds me that everyone is different. All bodies are different. Your body is made to do what it's doing, you know, yeah. It's your body's unique to you.
What is something, because I think, you know, something that we talk a lot about is just partner dynamics and relationships. And I think especially when you're going through something challenging, whether it's, you know, the challenging the time that you experienced when you were pregnant and also after, or just even hearing this diagnosis for you and knowing that together, you know, maybe your future would look different. How has that been for you guys to be able to lean on each other? And I know you mentioned that you've been open, which I think is a great thing to be with your significant other about how you're feeling and what it's like for you. But is there anything that you to people who, you know, might be struggling with that?
I mean, I'm a huge advocate for therapy. Yeah. Grant, I did premarital therapy. We've done marriage therapy. We should probably go to therapy about this too, honey. I didn't think of that until just now, but we probably should. I talk to my therapist once a week, and love her, but yeah, I mean, I'm pro therapy, like why not? And it definitely helps. But the tools that we've gotten in the past, honestly, it's just a lot of communication, because you could really get in your head about this, right? Like, I don't want to get into it, but you could get in your head about like all the intimacy and stuff like that when it comes to procreating. And I think communication is honestly key. Like just talking it out and talking about the resentment, talking about the doubt, the fear, you know, the failure or whatever it is that you're experiencing as a result of this. And not just for me, but for Grant too, you know, men also suffer from secondary infertility as well. This isn't just like a female thing. In fact, I think it's like, I'm not going to do a statistic because it's probably wrong, but men can suffer from it too. So we're all in it together, even though it does feel like it's very much like me and my body. Like yeah. I'm trying to make a conscious effort to like bring Grant in. Grant is so amazing though. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here. He's like, cool. Like we got June. This is awesome. I'm like, it like he's very, you know, he keeps things like light and joking around all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah. Humor is always a little helpful if you're open to it. Humor definitely heals a lot.
I resort to that a lot of the time, like some dark sense of humor with one of the questions that that people had asked, which I thought was such a great question, and since you're in a position where you're kind of, you know, experiencing this and also have been able to take some time to figure out, you know, what works and what doesn't work for you as far as the acceptance process, what are some things to say and not to say to somebody who is struggling with secondary infertility?
You already have one. You should just be happy you have the one. That one is probably my least favorite. Mm-hmm. I don't like that one. Or are you sure? Are you sure you can't? Like, I'm sure you could if you really wanted to. I'm like, ah. Those two things are probably the hardest. And then also like not asking questions for me has been a little difficult, which is another reason why I decided to come on here and talk about it. Because I do feel like there's like weirdly a lot of close friends and family members who like, we'll tell them this and then it's just like radio silence. And we're like, does she want to know why? Like, I don't know. It's kind of
other people. It's better for you when people ask you the questions when you say.
I think so. I think if you're open to sharing it, like, hey guys, I have secondary, or like if someone's like, hey, are you going to have another baby? Which everyone loves to ask. And you're like, actually we can't. And then they just, oh, okay. And like, they never hear from them again. It's like, well, I shared that with you. Maybe like that. I feel like by sharing that, you're like opening up the dialogue a bit. And it feels a little, for me, this might not be for everyone, but for me, it feels a little uncomfortable because I know we're human. I would have questions if somebody told me. I'd be like, if it's a close family member or someone, you know, I'm not saying like everyone on the street, but yeah, I think the biggest like what not to say is you have the one. like you have June. I'm obviously like, yes, we know we're very, you know, that's just hard. It's hard to explain why, but that's a harder one, I think. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Well, when you say to somebody, when someone says to you, you know, like, are you guys going to have another baby? Which it seems like, I feel like the second you have your first child or and they're like, so when's the next one going to come? Just like, you know.
Well, now they won't because I went on here. I'll be like, go see Instagram. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I say maybe. I mean, you know, maybe one day. That's what I say. I'm like, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe one day, because who knows? Maybe one day.
Yeah. And are there, you know, like follow-up questions that you would say for people to that are great things to ask or comments to give back that would make you feel better in your journey or your experience?
Yeah, I think just, I mean, common like rule of thumb, I think just invalidating people's feelings is to always, I think just to validate and like repeat back what they're telling you. So like you're validating it and you're registering it and you've heard them to make the person feel heard in any situation, not just this one, but like, yeah, we're really bummed out. We can't have another kid. Literally all you have to say is, wow, yeah, you must be really bummed out. You can't have another kid. Like you can literally just repeat back to them. If you don't know what to say, just repeat back to them what they said. Yeah. And when in doubt, that usually works. Or just, I'm really sorry. That's, you know, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's helpful because there are so many different, you know, we're in a world now where there are so many different avenues for people to become parents and to have families, which is such an incredible thing. And also, you know, it comes a lot of the time with people. I also find, especially older generations who are, you know, you say something to them and they're like, I don't know, like, what's the thing to say? What's the wrong thing to say? And they, you know, they mean well, but it's also like you, and of course, most people don't respond intentionally causing pain or discomfort, but it's also, you know, it's a new territory for a lot of people that we're even talking about stuff like this and having a conversation live about something that, you know, before was considered to be very private and something people dealt with behind closed doors about. So I think it's helpful to be able to give people like an idea of like, this is really hurtful to say, or this is really helpful to say for me in my journey. And I'm sure you have, you know, friends or things like that who've showed up for you in different ways that you've also.
Yeah, it's tough too, because, you know, like we talked about earlier, this is, it's still an ongoing thing. Like, you know, this is something we'll carry with us forever. And I, some days I'm just like light about it and like, yeah, totally. I'll be in a room with people and they're talking about their next kid and I can't wait to get pregnant or I'm breastfeeding and da da da. And I'm totally fine with it. And I'm joking around and like, yeah, like go get knocked up. This is great.
Yeah.
And then the next day they'll be talking about it. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I can't do that again. You know, and it kind of makes me feel cruddy, but it's not them. It's me, obviously. But, you know, I'm like, so I don't know. It's tough. It's just like every day is different.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, especially because you're still in it, it's, you know, and also just coming to a place where you're open to sharing it, which I think is incredible. When you have moments like that, where you're sitting with friends and you have that feeling, is there something that you do or like a ritual that you give to your, to kind of bring yourself?
Yeah, I just breathe. And I honestly, in those moments, this sounds like super cheesy, but I just turn to gratitude. Obviously, I turn to June, but not just having June. I just kind of breathe and go back in and not really worry about what they're talking about. And just honestly, like go into my like zone. And like, it's just, this is going to pass. This is just like, a, you know, a little bit of a storm going on internally. And just know that, you know, it's not going to last forever. This isn't like... Yeah. You know, these are just thoughts and emotions they will pass too, and just kind of breathe through it.
Yeah, I love that. And we also talked yesterday a little bit on the phone just about like being kind to ourselves in that process and gentle to ourselves, because it is, you know, some days it's fine and other days it's very challenging. Yeah. I'm so grateful that you took the time to come on here and to just be so open about it. And I guess we're going to do another one just about your book, because I'm also very excited.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. Yeah, you guys, I'm writing. I wrote a book. It's coming out. This is just like the tip of my messed up iceberg. I'm just kidding. This is the tip of the iceberg. I wrote a book, and it's literally an open book about a lot of things that have happened in my life. So yeah, I'm happy about that. We should definitely regroup and talk about that another time.
as I was saying to you yesterday, the idea of being able to have conversations like this and also your book is, you know, both of the conversation and the book, these are, and your post is, they're gifts to the world and to people who are following you and who see them and who feel like, you know, I'm less alone because she shared her experience and her journey. And I think that that's such an important thing to keep in mind whenever you, you know, get nervous about talking about something like this, is that it's courageous, it's brave. And also the idea that it could help one person feel less alone in their journey is a huge gift to give somebody. So I'm so grateful that you came on here and talked about everything so openly and honestly. And we love Grant.
We love you, Grant. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for creating this safe space to open up about it.
Of course, of course. Thank you, JC.
All right. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I miss you.
I miss you in the real world.
I know. I'm like, yeah.
And we'll get together.
I know. We should.
Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.